Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you again this morning. I noticed that you turned the air conditioner on outside. It is much cooler today than it was yesterday. However, with that being said, I think we may, Tabitha and Elizabeth and I may want to stay here this evening. I think it's supposed to be about 25 here tonight, but we've heard that in Athens, where we live, it's supposed to be 16. And so it's going to get cold quickly. This morning, what I'd like to do during this period is, quite frankly, I'm going to read to you one of the most boring scriptures in all the Bible. And it's because sometimes this is a scripture that we cross over a lot and we don't pay a lot of attention to. But there's a lot of passages like that. I mean, don't you feel like that when you read the book of Numbers? I mean, why in the world do I care about, you know, how many family members there are from a certain tribe of, you know, certain part of the tribe of Manasseh? Why do I care about that? And you start to read through the prophets, it seems like it's the same message over and over and over again. Why are we told all this? Well, of course, as you begin to look at those passages in detail, you realize, well, there are some lessons to be learned from all that, and there is a reason why we are told that. And that's kind of what I wanted to look at this morning. I want us to take a look at, it's a study of Judges, the first chapter. And I've titled this lesson, Dealing with Evil Influences, and we'll talk about that as we get down toward the end. But I want to begin, before we move to Judges 1, I want to look briefly at Genesis, the 12th chapter. This is the story of God approaching Abraham and with this idea. And the idea was that he needed him to move, and he was going to bless his lineage. So God makes this promise to Abraham. He says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and from your kindred to your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you are a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. You can either look at this as one promise in three parts, or you can look at it as three different promises. But part of this was God was going to give Abraham and his family a land. We talked a little bit about this on Friday night, that God could have given Abraham's family any land on the face of the earth, but he chose to give them this land, this piece of land here. And we discussed on Friday night some possible reasons why that is. But God was intending for Abraham's family to have all this land and to have it exactly the way he had promised. What God wanted to do was to give them this land. This is what God wanted. And so they set about to do that. As you know through the history, they didn't get it directly. Abraham's family eventually moved to part of this land, but then they moved down to Egypt. While they were there, they became slaves. They were down there for a long period of time. And then eventually made their way to this land. And so that brings us actually to the books of Joshua and Judges. And so what we want to do is let's move that map out of the way and let's get a brand new map out of here. Because we know what God wanted to give them. But Judges 1 tells us what they got when they got here. Now, Judges 1... If you glance down through it, it's nothing but a list of geographical names. That's all it is. And quite frankly, it's just a summary of what we read in the book of Joshua. I mean, in the book of Joshua, Joshua comes in and they conquer the land. That's what the book of Joshua basically is about. Judges starts off by retelling part of that story the whole story in a very condensed form. And quite frankly, this is a chapter that we skip over because it's boring. But I want us to take a closer look at this chapter because I think there's some valuable lessons to be learned from it. And so what we want to do is we're going to read through this chapter. And each of you probably have a worksheet that you can look at. I supply this because, quite frankly, when you get going down through this, it can get a little mundane. But this will help you kind of keep track of what we're talking about here as we go through this. We're going to take each of these areas that they talk about, and we're going to color code it, and we're going to take a look and see what happened. when they conquered the land. So, beginning in verse 1 of Judges, the first chapter, it says, after the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? The Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand. And Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me into the territory allotted to me, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with you into the territory allotted to you. So Simeon went with them. Then Judah went up, and the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they defeated 10,000 of them at Bezek. They found Adoni-Bezek at Bezek and fought against him and defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Adoni-Bezek fled, but they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to pick up scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. So this series of seven verses talks about the capturing of an area called Bezek, a city called Bezek. And here's what the Israelites did. They did exactly what God told them to do. Exactly. And so what we're going to do is we're going to color this area of the map green. And so for the area of Bezek, if you have the worksheets, you can say this goes in the green column, because they did exactly what they were told to do. So continuing now in verse 8, and the men of Judah fought against Jerusalem, captured it, struck it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. Again, they did exactly what they were told to do. So we're going to color that area green as well. Look in verse 9. Afterward, the men of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who lived in the hill country, in the Negev, and in the lowland. And Judah went against the Canaanites and lived in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. And they defeated Sheshaiah, Anhemon, and Talbah. So here they've gone down to the area of the Negev and Hebron. And they did again exactly what God told them to do. So we're going to color that area green as well. Now, a little side note. Remember on Friday night, I talked about the area of the Shvelah and how that's a Hebrew word, and a lot of times in our Bibles is translated as lowland. Here's a good example of that here in the ninth verse. The word lowland is the word Shvelah that we talked about on Friday night. Okay, verse 11. From there, they went against the inhabitants of Debir. Now, the name of Debir was formerly Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will give him Aksa, my daughter, for a wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it. And he gave him Ashka, his daughter, for a wife. And when he came to him, she urged him to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? She said to him, give me a blessing. Since you have set me in the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Again, here's another example where they have done exactly what God wanted them to do. And so we're going to color that area green as well. It's interesting that as we read through this, that this is the area of the Negev. This gets to be area that's very, very dry. And the one thing that she asked for when moving to this area is we need some water. And so she made sure that they have water to drink there. All right, verse 16. And the descendants of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up against the people of Judah from the city of Palms into the wilderness of Judea, which lies in the Negev near Arad. And they went up and settled with the people. All right, first of all, here's the term city of Palms. We've discussed that a couple times this weekend. This refers, of course, to the city of Jericho. But there's a change in the language here with what's said. There's a change in the language. They didn't go in and destroy the people like God had told them to do. It says they went in and settled with the people. This was not what God wanted them to do. And so we're going to color code this a little differently. We're going to color code this yellow, because this is not what God told them to do. They've gone in and settled with the people. All right, let's continue. In verse 17, Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they defeated the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath and devoted it to destruction. So the name of the city was Hormah. Judah also captured Gaza and its territory, with Ashkelon and its territory, and Ekron with its territory. All right? We're back doing good things now. This is exactly what God told them to do. So we're going to color that area green. All right? Let's keep reading. Verse 19. The Lord was with Judah, and he took possession of the hill country, but he could not drive out all the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. And Hebron was given to Caleb, as Moses had said, and he drove out the people of the three sons of Anak. So here you have a situation in which they've gone into the hill country, and in the hill country they are successful. They have driven out the people. But when they get down to the plains next to the hill country, they're not able to drive the people out. And the excuse given here is because the people had, the inhabitants of the land had chariots of iron. Now, the problem here isn't the fact that, the real problem here isn't the fact that the inhabitants had chariots of iron. The real problem here is that they didn't have the faith in God that they told them, that he told them what they needed to do. But you have two areas here. One, they did exactly what God wanted them to do. But however, when they got down to the plain, they did not. And so we'll color the hill country green. But the land of the plain right here, we're going to color yellow. Verse 21, but the people of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites have lived with the people of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Now, wait a minute. I thought in verse 8, didn't we read the men of Judah fought against Jerusalem and captured it and struck it with the edge of the sword? Yeah. So, at one point, Jerusalem was green. But during this whole process, apparently they allowed the people to move back into the city of Jerusalem. And we talked about Jerusalem yesterday and how vitally important that city was and how easy it was to defend and why people would want it. And apparently that is what's happened. Israel has let down their guard here, and Jerusalem is now back in the hands of the enemy. So we're going to change that color from green to yellow for Jerusalem, because it is no longer what God wanted. Verse 22, the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them, and the house of Joseph scouted out Bethel. Now the name of the city was formerly Luz. And the spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they saw him, and they said to him, please show us the way into the city, and we will deal kindly with you. And he showed them the way into the city. And they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and his family go. The man went to the city of land of the Hittites and built a city and named it Luz. And that's the name of the city to the day. Well, here they did almost. They actually did pretty good, but not completely what God wanted to do. They destroyed the area, but they let this family go, which is, of course, not exactly what God wanted. So let's color this area light green, because it's almost green, but not quite there. So light green. Again, verse 27, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Iblim and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites persisted in dwelling in that land. When Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. So here you have a situation in which they did not drive out the people as they should. Now, there were some positive effects of this in that they were able to make the inhabitants of the land be their slaves. But still the people are there. And this is not what God wanted. Let's color this area light green as well. Verse 29, and Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. So here you have a situation, did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, and Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Do you see a little difference in the language here? We had a situation in which the Israelites moved in and the people were living amongst the Israelites. Well, what happens when you get to Gezer? It says that the people were lived the Canaanites lived in Gezer with them as well. I'm sorry. Let me get back to that point in just a minute. So this color, we're going to make this yellow as well. This is not what Jesus, what God wanted. And so when the people moved into Gezer, the Canaanites lived there. Zebulun, verse 30. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites lived among them, but became subject to forced labor. Again, same situation that we had up in the area just near the Jezreel Valley. They moved in there, but they didn't drive them out. They were able to make them slaves, but did not drive them out. So we're going to color that area light green. Verse 31, Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Alab or Akzib or Helba or Iphik or Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. This was the point I was trying to make a minute ago. Just got my verses mixed up. Do you notice a difference in tone here? There's a difference in the wording. Up until this point, the Israelites have moved in, and they may not have chased out all the people, but it says that the inhabitants lived among the Israelites. And now we've got a situation that's completely backwards. Not only did they not chase the people out, but it now says that the Israelites lived among them. So they may have lived there, but they were not in control at all. Now, this is not a good situation at all. Not a good situation. We're going to color that area orange because we're really getting into an unwinnable situation here with this. Verse 33, Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Banath. So they lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Banath became subject to forced labor on them. Again, another situation which they moved in. They did not drive the people out, but they made them slaves. And so we're going to color this area light green. Verse 34, the Amorites pressed the people of Dan back into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come into the plain. The Amorites persisted in dwelling in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, in Shalbim, but the hand of the house of Joseph rested heavily on them, and they became subject to forced labor. And the border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akrib, from Selah and upward. Now this is just not good at all. What happened is they tried to move into the land, and the Amorites wouldn't even let them come in. And eventually pushed them from the plains back up to a small portion of the hill country. We're going to color this red. I mean, they didn't even capture this land. They didn't even dwell where they were supposed to dwell. And of course, if you read to the end of Judges, you know what the end of this story is. The people that were supposed to live here are the Danites. This was the portion of land that was given to the tribe of Dan. And toward the end of Judges, you know that the Danites then migrated because they were unhappy here because they never got the land. They eventually migrated up to the north. They found a city called Laish that was inhabited but not protected. And they captured the city and then actually renamed it Dan. And so that's where the Danites lived. And so this situation was not good at all. So here's what we've done. We've read through one of the most boring passages of Scripture in the Bible. But what's interesting here are the lessons you can learn. This is one of these lessons I teach where the introduction is about 20 minutes long and the lesson's about 4 minutes long. So that was the introduction. Here's the lesson. Why are we told this story? Why is this detailed for us in Judges, the first chapter? Well, I think there's two reasons. One reason is doesn't this chapter set the stage for the rest of the book? I mean, what's the rest of the book about? The rest of the book of Judges is about all the problems that the Israelites had with the people of the land. Well, look at what they started with. I mean, is it any doubt that they were going to have problems? This is not what God wanted, and consequently they have problems. That's what the whole book of Judges is about the problems that they had in the land. But I think there's another reason, and a reason that's more important to us of why this chapter is included. It's because there's a difference here between what God wants and what God gets. You know, what God wanted to give the people was what's on the left. But what God got was what was on the right. And there's problems with that. And it's easy for us sitting here in 2020 to read this story and to say, the Israelites were crazy. Why didn't they just... I mean, they knew the promises. These are the same people whose ancestors had been delivered from Egypt, saw the plagues, they were protected, they were fed every day for 40 years. They know about God. The first city that they captured when they came into the land of Israel was Jericho. They watched how God handled that situation. But they still didn't fulfill everything God said. And as I said, it's easy for us to read this and say, why? Why did they act this way? But you know what? We do the same thing. God wants us to be pure. And God wants us to be holy. And what do we give Him? Often we give Him what's on the right over there. We don't give Him what He wants. And of course, we know what the end of that story is when we don't give God what He wants. The end of the story is the rest of the book of Judges. If we don't give God a pure and holy life like He asks us to give, then we're going to have trouble with the evil influences in our life. Just like the Israelites had trouble with the evil influences in the land in which they dwell. And I think that's the lesson for all of us from Judges, the first chapter. Why don't you bow with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day, for the blessings that are in it, and for the opportunity that we have to come together, study from Your words, and to remember the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all of us. Father, we're thankful for Your word. And we're thankful, Father, for the lessons that we can learn from them. Help us, Father, to be holy and to be pure and to be with You and to be Your children, so that we can withstand the evil influences that are all around us. In Christ's holy name we pray.